That. Welcome! We shall now talk about evangelism. The summary. We will cover what evangelism is and isn't, different evangelism methods, general tips, how to start an evangelism movement. Thank you for coming to the Campus Renewal Conference and the breakout session on evangelism. Okay, first step to understanding evangelism. What is the word? What was it in Greek? What does it mean, right? Got to start with strong understanding, okay? The word is evangelizo. That's my broken transliteration of the Greek. It literally means to bring good news or to declare glad tidings. So here's some verses that use the word. Luke 1:19, Angel Gabriel is sent to Zechariah to tell him good news. If someone wants to pull up the verse, I guess we could do that. I'm just going to kind of skip through these, though. Angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah to declare good news. Okay? Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to proclaim good news to the poor. This is Jesus reading from Isaiah. And he says, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing today. To declare good news to the poor. Luke 8:1, proclaim the good news of God. Acts 15:35. I want to read this one. Someone to pull it up? I'll pull it up. Acts 15:35. I'll race you all, and I'll beat you all. Unless one of you is already there, and then I lost. Okay. This is Paul and Barnabas. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. That's using the word evangelizo. Preaching the word of the Lord. Interesting. It's also used to translate it as teaching. Okay? Or preaching. So 1 Corinthians 15:2, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. The preach to you is actually using the same word. Pretty interesting. So basically, evangelism is the verb of gospel. If gospel is the noun, evangelism is the verb. Gospel is the content, the good news. And evangelism is the transmission of the good news. What's crazy, though, is that since it's just transmission of good news, it's actually a vague term. It's devoid of actual content in itself as a word. Anyone who goes to declare any good news to anyone is evangelizing. That's evangelism, which is kind of weird to think about, but it's like redefining it, making it almost less Christian, because people evangelize all the time. That's one of the main points that I want you to understand, though. The first step to understanding evangelism as a Christian is to stop thinking about it as an outreach, to stop thinking about it as an event or a program, and instead start thinking about it as declaring good news, because that's what it means, declaring good news. We often think declaring specifically the good news of salvation, and that is evangelism, and it's proper for us to speak about it that way. But all throughout the Bible, and for Greeks, they used it just to mean proclaiming good news. So, how many of you have had something really amazing happen to you that you just had to share with someone? Ever? Everyone? No one? Hands. Let me see them. Everyone, okay? Did you go and do it? Have you done it? Yes? Were you excited to share it? So, you're all natural evangelists. Way to go. Good job. If you've been sitting here your whole life thinking, I'm not an evangelism, evangelism's not for me, I have good news. You're all naturals. You did it without even knowing you were doing it. You did it naturally. In fact, people are designed to share good news with other people. You see it on Facebook. You see it on memes. You see it on the news. People just love sharing good news. When something's so amazing, they get excited about it, and they want to share it with other people. So if we're not excited about sharing God with other people, maybe that's why we're not evangelizing. Why are we not excited about the news? Right? So what if someone came up to you and said, hey, I have really great news for you, but then they like walked away? Uh-huh. Or they told you something, but it wasn't good news. It's just like some random message. You'd be like, why are you telling me this? You said you were going to give me good news, but then you didn't. Sometimes that's what Christians can do while doing evangelism. They're like, hey, let me tell you all about this great stuff. You're a sinner and going to hell. Then they walk away and leave. What is that? That's not sharing the good news, even if it is sharing Christianity. You can share the truth without sharing good news, because there's bad news too, right? Okay. So if you did that, that would not really be evangelism, even if you thought it was. If sharing news with someone is only evangelism if the contents of the news are good. Okay? How many of you have purchased something and you're waiting for it to arrive, or your parents say that they're going to get you something next month and you're waiting for it? Did you have anticipation? Were you excited about it? That's that excitement that we should have about the gospel as well. If we really are looking forward to what's coming in the future, the new earth, the new life, the return of Christ, we're eager to tell our friends, hey, guess what? I'm getting a new Xbox next month that we can play together. That's something that I would get excited about as a kid. So there you go. Maybe that doesn't relate to you, but something similar, right? You're eager to tell your friends about it, and you want them to get an Xbox too so you can play together. In the same way, when it's like, ah, Jesus is coming back and I'm going to get to live forever, I want you there too. Why would you not tell the good news to your friends, right? That evangelism is not a program, it's not an event, it's a lifestyle of sharing the good news of God with the people that you love, whether you know them before or not. Okay? You're not reluctant to tell people about good news. You're eager to tell people about good news. So if you're not eager to evangelize, what we should be thinking is, man, how much am I really appreciating the gospel? How much am I really appreciating, you know, am I burning for God? Because it should come naturally out. We focus on that first. Okay? What does this teach you about evangelism? Any quick feedback?
I'm shocked, but I think it's really cool. Like, yeah, I'm sharing the good news. Because, like, in crew, like, the first thing that we share, it's like knowing God personally, or how to know God personally book we have. The first thing we tell people before anything, number one, you're a sinner. That's number one. And, you know, now that I'm like, wow, that maybe isn't the best thing that we have in the book. And those are made, like, you know, nationwide.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying it's bad to tell people that they're sinners when you're doing contact evangelism. Because there's this classic example of the rope salesman walks up to a man, says, hey, you want to buy some rope? The guy's like, I don't need any rope. Okay, fine. He walks up to another man in a ditch that's digging a hole, right? And the man's like, hey, you want to buy some rope? The guy's like, no, I'm digging a ditch. Leave me alone. So he's like, okay, bye. That's evangelist two. Evangelist three comes up to a man in a ditch. Guy's in the ditch, and he says, hey, you want to buy some rope? He says, oh, no, sorry. Evangelist 3 comes up and says, what are you doing down there? He's like, I'm digging a ditch. Oh, cool. What's it going to be like? How big is it going to be? Why are you doing this? Hey, how are you going to get out of there? Huh. Never really thought about that. I just kept digging. Do you want to buy some rope? Yeah, I'll take some rope. So sometimes people don't realize they have a need for good news. Because it's good news now that there's a rope salesman when you're stuck in a ditch. But if you didn't even realize that before. So sometimes that's the reason we tell the bad news, to help people understand the weight of the good news. Okay? Okay. That's the first part about what is the gospel. I want to illustrate this with just a quick verse. Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. When he really truly believes that this is good news of salvation, it results in him not being ashamed. He's eager. He's not reluctant to share the good news because he really believes it's good. Okay. Moving into our section two, evangelism methods. I'm going to focus mainly on one. I mean, if you heard about prophetic evangelism the session before this, great. I'm going to talk about kind of questioning evangelism. And I want to talk about this first in the context of contact evangelism, this phrase contact evangelism versus other evangelism that isn't contact. I don't know. I was taught this phrase by people, so I just think contact evangelism. What I mean by that is if you're going up to someone you've never met before and starting a spiritual conversation with them. So the non-contact evangelism would be someone you already know and have a relationship with. Someone you've already talked to, an acquaintance, whatever. this first method, it applies really equally to both, but it's going to look a little bit different. First, I'm going to talk primarily about contact evangelism, and then I'm going to talk a little bit later about how you do this with ongoing relationships. So here we go. I took this from someone else. It's called the SALT method. You can look it up on the internet. I don't remember the people who make it. But the SALT method of evangelism. Me and my friend say, we're going to go have a spiritual conversation with someone. First step is to start a conversation with someone, right? You can talk to anyone. Yes, you want to figure out who to talk to. If you're two guys, don't walk up to a girl all alone. Cool, stuff like that. That's fine, but really you can talk to anyone. There's freedom. If I go with a female, then we can talk to guys and girls. Great. You can talk to groups if you want. Cool. So first step that I use when we did this, first step that I use, walk up and say, hey, how's it going? They're like, why are you talking to me? My name's Charlie. This is my friend. Salam. We're walking around trying to have spiritual conversations with people. Would you mind if we ask you some questions? So I always start by giving them an opportunity to say, I'm not interested. And if they say, I'm not interested, I leave them alone. I don't go on talking at them if they don't want to have that conversation. That's just how I do it. I'm not interested in having a conversation with someone who's not interested in hearing. But usually people say, yeah, sure, go for it. I have to leave in 5 minutes. Okay, cool. I'll go really fast. Step two. Ask questions. SALT, right? Start the conversation. S. A, if you're taking notes. A, ask questions. Ask questions. I want to show you something here. This is called the God test. I invite you to come look at it after the session. The whole point of the God test here is it has two sides. You can look it up online, godtest.com or something like that. It's really good, really effective. I don't actually use this when I walk up to people because it's awkward to have this thing that I'm showing them. But I use the principle, which is I walk up to you, say, first question, do you believe there's a God? After we've started the conversation, I'm going to ask you spiritual questions, okay? It's like a survey. I'm doing a survey. Spiritual survey is another thing you can ask. Do you believe in God? If you say yes, I open the God test one way. It has questions about people who do believe in God. What do you believe God is like? Does God expect things from you? How are you meeting God's expectations? Do you believe in an afterlife? What's your afterlife like? Are you going into this place? These are just questions. I'm just asking all these questions to figure out what do you believe? Where are you at? What do you already get? What do you not get? What do you need help with? If they say, I don't believe in God, then you flip it over to the other side and ask different questions. The whole point, though, is that if you're just going in with, this is the format we're going to follow, you're going to answer all of these individual questions, and then we're going to get to the end, and then it's my turn. It's not flexible. It's weird. It's awkward. And it's almost rude. So instead, it's just a conversation. Ask questions about stuff you're curious about. What do you want to know about them? Do you want to know anything about them at all? Why are you talking to them? Do you care about them as a person? Do you feel God's heart of love for them? Like, if it's really someone that God made with their own unique history and mixture of beliefs, I'm curious. What concoction is it this time? What mix of beliefs, as nonsense or sensical as they may be, what does this person believe? So just ask questions. What do they believe about the afterlife? What do they believe about spiritual things? If you're starting, I'd say if you don't learn something about another worldview, you haven't asked very good questions. That's how I learned about most of the world religions that I know. Sure, people have taught me some stuff. This is about Islam and what. But most of the stuff I've learned about Islam, most of the stuff I've learned about Hinduism, Mormonism, you name it, is from me walking up to people or my friends and just asking them questions. And the more people I talk to, the more I know about Hinduism. Yay, I'm a Hindu scholar. Why? Because I'm ministering to Hindu people. And I'm learning from them as I do it. It's giving and taking. It's learning and sharing. So that's the second step. Ask questions. Try to learn about their faith. Steer conversation back towards spiritual things if they get off by affirming their response to your last question and then just moving on to a new question. You know, if they get off on a tangent about something, hey, thank you so much for that answer. I hadn't thought about it from that perspective. You mind if I ask you another question now? It's okay. If you've already come in with this almost kind of awkward method from the start, I'm asking spiritual questions to people, it's okay to say, okay, I want to move on to the next spiritual question now. Third thing, L in salt, is listen attentively. Don't be listening to what they're saying, trying to think about how you're going to refute them, trying to think about how you're going to prove them wrong. Listen as if you want to understand what they're saying. If you find yourself distracted by other things, not paying attention to what they're saying, not really getting it, in general, they're going to notice because you're going to say something that doesn't make any sense in response to what they say. But even more than that, you're not showing love. You're not loving. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Seek to understand them. Listen attentively and don't concern yourself about, oh, well, am I going to be able to prove them right? Sure, take notes of things of what they believe, but that happens through listening to understand. And then when you really understand them, you know what to say when you get to the fourth piece, which is telling. Conversations go two ways. If you just listen to what they have to say but don't tell anything, that's an imbalanced relationship. Okay? So, okay, hey, thanks for answering all these questions of mine. Whatever questions you want to come up with, these are great examples. Do you mind if I tell you what I believe about some of these things? Sure, go for it. And this is your time to share. I don't believe that the goal is to make a salvation happen and they confess Christ. Yes, we should ask them if they want to do that sometimes, but not always. And if someone already knows the gospel very well, there are times when doing evangelism, I don't share the gospel. But in my telling time, I'm telling a testimony of something I saw God do. It could be a miracle. It could be something incredible. It could be how God changed my life. It could be something from the Bible, a story that they're not familiar with. Anything that's telling them the good news of God, about peace, about restoration, about healing, about his ministry and his love for them, that's good news, all of it. All of it is good news. So don't be so worried like, well, I get the actual gospel to them. If you're sharing good news with them, you're evangelizing. And you're developing a relationship they can build and go forward. Tell them honestly. You know, don't make up stuff that you don't believe. Be sincere. And then finally, so SALT is this method that these people came up with. I kind of helped one guy develop this acronym, but it's really his more than mine. I use it with his permission. But I like to add on something else. Salt and pepper. Just because I want the P. So salt and pepper. The P is for prayer. When you finish telling them, keep it short. You know, don't talk for like 20 minutes at them unless they really want to hear it. But tell them succinctly. If you can't tell the gospel to yourself in the mirror in, you know, 30 seconds to a minute and a half, practice, I guess, until you can tell the gospel quickly without rambling. And then pepper is, hey, can I pray for you for anything? Sometimes people are really reluctant to give prayer requests. So you say, if God could do a miracle in your life or in your family's life today, what would it be? Can I pray for that right now? And you'll be amazed at the requests you get sometimes. But just, can I pray for you? Sometimes people don't feel comfortable with that. Say, okay, cool. Hey, thanks for chatting. Do you want to meet up again sometime and talk some more? Would you want to do a Bible study? Can I get your phone number? Whatever, right? Follow up is important. Catch you later. And then you pray as soon as they leave. You pray that God would minister to them, that he would pour water on the seeds you just planted. Because it's God who brings the growth, right? So pray for them. If they say, yeah, you can pray for me, but they don't have any prayer requests, then you're good to go. Pray whatever God leads you to pray. You can listen for God to give you something specific. You can pray it. I generally usually just pray a general prayer of blessing for them, that God would deepen their relationship with him, that he would reveal himself to them, that he would encourage them, that he would bring them to, that he would protect them from the enemy, that he would protect them from whatever circumstances are going on in their lives. Peace be with them. Make sense? So that's the first method. There's also prayer evangelism, which is I'm going to walk up and just say, hey, can I pray for you? We're walking around praying for people. It's kind of bold. This is a separate method from salt and pepper. You just walk up and say, hey, we're walking around praying for people. I know people who, they prepare little gift bags with like Starbucks cards and stuff in there. And they're like, hey, we're just walking around campus. These are parents of some students. They just come to campus and prayer walk. We just are walking around praying for people. Can we give you this gift and pray for you? And they have incredible conversations with that. Next bit is about apologetics involved in evangelism. I'm kind of going to have to skip over this to some degree. But excellent resource that I think there's basically two excellent resources that I think generally any Christian who wants to be really active in evangelism, which we should all be, lifestyle, right? Two books that I strongly recommend is one, Master Plan of Evangelism. This book is so famous. It's insane. Master Plan of Evangelism is amazing. Second book is Tactics by Greg Kokel. K-O-U-K-L. Kokel. Tactics by Greg Kokel. Just insanely insightful about how do you navigate a conversation and ask good questions from people. It's amazing, but I can't go into too much of it. If someone says something you don't understand, what do you mean by that? If you're confused about what exactly they might mean, or they say something that's just way out there that you are not familiar with, what do you mean by that? Can you tell me more? I'm confused. How did you come to that conclusion? It's a great question for people who make all sorts of assertions. They're always making all these claims, but they never back them up. How did you come to that conclusion? Maybe they've never really thought about why they think what they think, and they just kind of throw it out there as it comes to them. How did you come to that conclusion? Maybe you helped them have a realization, I don't actually have a good reason for why I'm saying this. I'm just kind of saying it. Very, very powerful question. How did you come to that conclusion? But that's just like an intro to Greg Kokel Tactics. I basically wish every college Christian read that book. Oh, man. There's a lot of other resources if you want to look into more stuff like this. There's Ray Comfort has like videos on how to do contact evangelism. Reasonable Faith Defenders podcast. Every Student is an app that does apologetics stuff that's excellent. I think it's made by Crew. You're familiar with it?
Oh, yeah. I've read the entire website.
Oh, yeah.
I give it to everyone.
Every Student, it's an app on your phone. It's fantastic. Stand to Reason is another really good podcast. And then CARM.org, C-A-R-M, is an online apologetics resource that is top-notch as well. Power Evangelism, you should have basically already talked about with Jeremy. And then the Ongoing Relationships, and this is kind of where I kind of have to wrap up.
What were the two podcasts, Stand to Reason?
Stand to Reason and the Defenders podcast. Defenders podcast is Reasonable Faith, I believe. And Stand to Reason is pretty good, from what I remember. Okay, so now for your friends. General observation. The longer you've been a friend with someone, you basically develop like a repertoire of conversation topics that you talk about with them. Am I right? You get used to talking about the same general stuff that you talked about last time. And it's really awkward if you haven't talked with them about spiritual things to be like, hey, Jesus, so I'm a Christian. No, it's just like, what are you doing? Why aren't we talking about video games? Sorry, you can tell I play video games. Anyways, if you have trust with that person, I think the easiest way to bring up spiritual matters with your friend is to say, you know what? We've been friends a while now. I've always been really curious about what you believe. And I've been afraid to say anything. I've been afraid and not known how to bring it up because it's awkward. Can I ask you about what you believe about spiritual stuff? And they'll say yes, if they're your friend, generally. I mean, they might say, no, I'm really not interested in that. And then you're like, okay, cool. If you want to talk about it, let me know. I guess that's what I would do, but I'm not really, I don't know. I'm not very culturally sensitive to stuff like that, but that's why I have a wife. She helps keep me in line. But, you know, say, hey, look, I've wanted to bring this up. I haven't known how. When you do that, you're showing them your vulnerability, that you're not trying to beat them over the head with the Bible, but that you want to have this conversation and you want to respect them in it. That doesn't turn people away. You just have to say that. I mean, it's worked every time. That I do that with my friends. I have a bond of trust. I'm like, I want to talk about this stuff. And once you're there, all of a sudden you're just back into salt and pepper. Right? I've just started the conversation with an alternate intro to someone I know. And you say, what do you believe about this? What do you believe about this? I want to know you. I want to know about, think about if you've dated someone or you can imagine. Dating people want to know everything about each other. They ask questions because they're curious. And when we feel the love of God toward people that he made as an independent, unique creation, it makes me curious. Like, when I first started, it was more just formulaic, and I would ask questions because it was what I would do to have the conversation with them. And as I did it, I was like, my heart was totally changed. All of a sudden, every person I talked to, I wanted to know about their lives. And that's the whole motivation in asking these questions. Finally, general tips for evangelism. Oh, man, I didn't even get to starting an evangelism movement. Okay, I'll skip the general tips. Evangelism movement. If any of you are computer scientists or have any familiarity, starting a movement is all about recursion, self-initiating. I go, I bring someone else with me, and we go and do some contact evangelism. And then we both split up and take a new person with us and train them, provide them an example of how do you do this with people, right? And then after they're ready, you say, okay, now we're both going to split up and go and get someone else. And we're each going to train another. And then when we're ready, we go off and train another. So I did this at UT Dallas when I started when I was a sophomore. And I was doing, me and the BSM associate director were going out and doing contact evangelism. We were like, what if we started applying this lesson from Fuel in the Flame about multiplying ourselves instead of adding to ourselves, and each of us went and trained someone else and told them to train someone else and told them to train someone else who told them to train someone else, and we did it. And so he started taking different people from the BSM and said, well, you BSM people now, you need to start taking someone else and going and talking to people about spiritual conversations. When we started, no one was having spiritual conversations in public on our campus. Wow. He left the next year, and it was just me. And I continued doing it. The BSM still has campus conversations in teams of two that self-reproduce today, 5 years later, because they've just constantly continued to keep mentoring each other in it. So that's how you start. In turn, I started taking people from different ministries and challenging them to do the same thing in their own ministries. And four ministries started regular, consistent contact evangelism in their groups just because I trained two people from their ministry to start teaching others to do it. It's very simple. Every single day that you go to our campus now in the main eating area, you can see people walking around having spiritual conversations with people. It's very simple. You just go and share and then challenge them to go and do it and repeat. So there you go. That's my challenge and my encouragement. If you want to talk more with me about that, do it. Thank you for coming. So long. Yeah.